Good morning. Again, I want to say happy Father's Day. A great day to be a father. And many of us can look down and we can say, look what we started. We have children, we have grandchildren, and so on. You know, and there's many fathers in the Bible. We think of Adam, the first man that was made. We think of his sons. We think of Abraham. We think of Isaac. We think of Jacob. We go through the Bible, and then we came to our passages we read this morning, Fennel read this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, the prodigal son. And the father who came running to a son who had left home, the son who would say, give me, give me. Basically, what he was saying is, I wished you were dead. Give me my inheritance, my possessions. And yet, when he came to himself, and when he understood that his father loved him, there was a place for him. And when he basically repented of himself, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. We see him at first, he says, give me. And the last, when he came to himself, he says, make me as one of thy hired servants. That's where we need to be before God can deal with us. And his father came running to him and fell on his neck and kissed him and received him back into fellowship. What a Savior we have this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me for one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. I'm going to read this verse slowly because you know what? It speaks to every one of us here this morning. And if anything else, this morning we need to take stock of our own lives and to make sure that we are truly saved and living for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves or test your own selves. Know you not your own selves? Do you not know your own self? You know what's going on in your life, so do I, but know what's going on in my life. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The word reprobates means immoral. It means to be void of judgment. You want to see another place where that is mentioned? Go to Romans chapter 1, and at the very end of that chapter where the Lord, he said he left them to themselves, or he gave them up to a reprobate mind. He gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind that was void of judgment. In other words, would never, ever have caught the conscience, wouldn't bother them enough to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Immoral, unprincipled, or void of judgment. Turn now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We're going to read in at verse 13 to the end of the chapter. And as we read these verses, I want us to take stock of our lives. Because we're going to see three groups of twos, if you will, in this chapter. First of all, we're going to see two ways. The broad way, the narrow way. Which one are you on? That is the beginning of our faith, or beginning, that is where salvation begins. The second is we're going to see two trees. It says a good tree or a corrupt tree. And what does that speak about? It speaks about evidence or fruit in our lives. Is there fruit in your life? And lastly, in the last part of the chapter, we're going to see two foundations, two houses or two homes built on two different things. And they would speak of your life. At the end of life, when the inspector, God, looks at you, is he going to look at your life and as it has been built upon a rock, as we've been singing about this morning, or has it been built upon sand? That is a question. It's not what you think of yourself. It's not what anyone else thinks of you. It's what God thinks of you, what God sees, because he sees every instant in your life. Let's read in at verse 13. Read into 13 down to verse 29. Remember, two ways, two trees, and two foundations. The Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. Enter ye in at the straight gate or narrow gate. That word straight means narrow. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Those are interesting words, aren't they? Because or for narrow is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Those are interesting words. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Yes, there's lots of false prophets and preachers and everything else in the world today. But does that exempt everyone else who's not a preacher? No, that is anyone who says they're a Christian and goes around and telling other people they're Christians and they're not living a Christian life. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? We know you don't get grapes off of thorn trees. Or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now listen to this next portion, next group of verses. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, of my Father, which is in heaven. That is a very important verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached? Have we not shared the word of God? Have we not told others about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And there's a lot of religious people, a lot of people in churches today doing great things. And people marvel at it. And they say, my word, isn't that a great person? I wished I was like them. But look what it goes on to say. Verse 23, and then, this is the Lord speaking, will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, there's that same doing again. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. We were singing about that just a few moments ago. A rock. That is a symbol or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, and so on. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes or the lawgivers of that day. That's quite a passage, isn't it? Let us bow for a moment in his presence. Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for your holy word. We thank thee, Father, for the clarity, the clearness of it. It's black and white. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would have freedom, liberty in our midst this morning. That if there's someone here who doubts their salvation, if there's someone here who is not saved, someone who is living a life and it's not pleasing to thee, Father, may they take stock of their lives. Father, may they know which way they're on, which tree they belong to, if you will, and Father, which foundation they have built their lives on. We ask for our help, for your help. We ask for leading and guiding. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We started off in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. We started off these three sets of twos. We started off a life of faith or a life of unbelief. There are two ways mentioned. We said the broad way. That is where every one of us start, is on the broad way. It's easy. It's comfortable. And it's popular. Today we see that. Very easy to run and go with the flow. That is one of the sayings. Well, you know, I just go with the flow. I go with the majority. The majority is always right. Not in the Word of God, it isn't. Not in the Word of God. It says, many there is. Look at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Those are very serious words. I want you to turn over with me to chapter 13 of Luke's gospel for a moment, where it goes a little bit further on this narrow gate. Luke chapter 13. And reading in verse 23. Listen to these words about getting into the narrow gate. I used to wonder about these words, but now I hopefully understand what it means. Verse 23, then said one unto him, that is, unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto him, or unto them, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, or straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. I'm going to go back to verse 24. Strive to enter in. And many of you will sit there today and say, well, you know, well, salvation isn't that hard, is it? God has made it very easy for us. But you know what? We struggle with it. What do I mean by the word? The word strive is a word, it's an athletic word. It means to agonize. It means to work hard. Just the other day, or yesterday, I believe, I read in the paper a young McQuaid who plays with the Boston Bruins. He was all over the paper. They became champions of Boston Bruins. This young man from Cornwall. But you know what I noticed in the paper? It said he was a hard worker. He worked hard. He paid attention. He was committed. Do you know what this word strive means? It means to agonize. Do you know what he agonized all his life to become a hockey player. And he accomplished it. How many of us, we go to university for years to become a what? A lawyer? A doctor? And all these things? But let me ask you this. How much time have you ever spent to find out how you can get to heaven? How much time does a person spend trying to find out the details and to know for sure that they are going to heaven? And you know what? That's the most important question in our entire life, and people do not spend any time. Some people think they're just going to fall in. Some people think because their parents are saved. Oh, I must be. I go to church. I know the preacher. I sing. I do all kinds of things. Teach Sunday school. But was there ever a point in time in your life when you said, Lord, I want to get off of that broad road and I want to be on the narrow road. I want to know for sure that I'm saved. Because that's what the Bible is teaching us. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many will seek. And there's many people in this world today, you ask people, do they want to go to heaven? What will they say? Yes. I want to go to heaven. How are they trying to get there? Just like we're been reading in this chapter, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done wonderful works in your name? Then will I profess, depart from me, I never knew you. You make sure this morning you're sitting here, not because I'm telling you, not because it's me that's speaking. Listen to the word of God, because that's what it also says. Don't just be hearers, but doers. Because a lot of people love to listen to great messages, love to listen to the word of God. It consoles them, it makes them feel good, but they have never done what God asked them to do. And they're still on the broad road to hell. You know what it says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. And the world is full of people today who think they have, they're on the narrow road. They think they have, they're right with God. They think they're going to heaven and they're going to end up in hell. And they spend time, but not the right time, striving to know the right way. God says, follow me. The broad road. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God looks at, he thinks about, he sees what you're doing, what I'm doing. He ponders, he wonders, he knows what we're doing. But he says, why are they doing that? Why do they not just listen to what I'm telling them to do? Why will they not obey? And that's what the meaning is to strive to get into the, strive to go through the narrow gate. And the Bible says, few there be that find it. Now that needs to strike to our hearts, my friend. Few there be that find it. And yes, heaven will be full. And God knows those that are his. And there are many genuine people who know the Lord. But I'm asking you individually, it says, examine yourself whether you be of the faith. Are you saved this morning and do you know it? Can you say like Paul, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Have you committed your life, your soul, everything to the Lord? Because if you have, my friends, we come to the next step, the two trees. If you're a good tree, there will be fruit in your life. And if you're not saved, you are a corrupt tree and there will be no good fruit in your life. I was out to Ross's the other day and he was showing me some trees. Chestnut tree. He was showing me all the different trees he had planted there. Maple tree. That tree grew up. And that chestnut tree grew up. Does Ross expect apples off it? Oranges? No, he expects chestnuts. If you call yourself a Christian, what kind of fruit should be in your life? Fruit that belong to a Christian. In the Psalms, the Lord says, my son, give me thine heart. The word, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It doesn't take long to be in the presence of a person to know where they stand. And yet some of us are good fakers, aren't we? We learn the language. We learn the lingo. We learn all the things that are right to say at the right time. That's what I did for 31 years. Especially when I was young. I was brought up in a Christian home. I could tell someone how to be saved. But I was not saved myself and I didn't plan on getting saved when I was in my teens. My mom was invited out to gospel meetings by an unsaved woman. An unsaved woman invited my mom out to gospel meetings and my mom went and never heard tell of such gospel before in her life. And she received the Lord Jesus Christ, this same woman who invited my mom out to the gospel meetings. After my mom got saved, Because the preacher, Mr. Wells, used to go to my mom's house because she had such a desire and love for the Word of God. The same woman started around the community that my mom was running around with the preacher. And yet she had enough sense to invite my mom to go to gospel meetings, but she wasn't saved. My point is this. There's a lot of good, morally good people in this world today who live lives, outstanding lives, and put a lot of Christians to shame. But you know what? Down deep inside, they're not saved, and God knows it. And you know what? Most of them know it too. But sometimes some of them are self-deceived, thinking that they are right with God, but they have never come to the place where they acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have never acknowledged their place as a sinner, and they have never received Him by faith. A week ago, I was speaking on the Passover. I was going to look at that today, back in Exodus chapter 12. And the important thing in that whole passage was to kill that lamb. And you know what? The Egyptians would see those Israelites killing that lamb, and they knew that the lamb was dead. And they knew that there had to be bloodshed. They would know that. But the thing is, they did not take that blood and apply it to their doorpost and to their lintel, which had to be done because they could kill a lamb. They could have the shed blood in front of them. They could have it everywhere. But if they didn't apply it by faith, by that hyssop, and go inside, they were not safe. The firstborn was killed in every house that the blood wasn't applied. And there's a lot of people today, they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They believe that His blood was shed, but they have never in their life, by faith, applied the blood of the Lamb to their heart's door, to their life. And how do we do that? We do it by faith. That's what that little picture of that little hyssop, because it was available everywhere, so it grew everywhere. And you and I live in a world today and we have faith every day and we practice it. We go to the grocery store and we believe that there's groceries in there. We get in our car, we turn on the key, we believe that the car is going to start. You get in here today, you sit down in that seat, you believe that it would hold you. I don't have to explain faith to you, although many times we try to do that. And God said, listen, you're a sinner. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. He shed His own precious blood. And if you want to be safe, you want to be saved, you need to take that blood by faith and you need to apply it by faith to your life. You need to be changed. You know what? There was absolutely no feeling on those people's heart, that day. Some of them, I'm sure, that had the blood applied to the door, went inside and they had, you know, scared feelings. Some of them didn't know, probably. Do you know what? It said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In God's eyes, the only thing that needed to be done was that blood needed to be applied by faith. No matter if it was a little bit of faith or a whole lot of faith, it had to be applied. And that was the only thing that God looked for, was the blood that was applied. And you know what? That's what God looks at today in your life. Have you ever applied the blood of the Lamb to your life? Are you still on the broad road? Or have you strived to enter into the narrow gate? You have got into God's Word and you say, Lord, what is it that's wrong with me? What is it that you want me to do? I will do it. And I'll do it now. To strive means to have a desire. That young McQuaid, he had a desire to be a hockey player. He paid attention. That's what it said in the journal. He paid attention to all his coaches. He paid attention to detail. He was committed. He worked hard. Why? Because he wanted to be a champion. He wanted to win. And that's what striving is, my friend. If you want to be saved, you need to find out what God wants of you. You must be not only a hearer, but you must be a doer. Do what God says. That's what obedience is all about. Trust and obey. And that's what God asks you to do. He doesn't ask you to behave, to be good. He asks you to believe. And the moment you believe and start obeying, you will behave, I promise you. It says two trees. It says, even so, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You think of someone who is living for the Lord. You know what? They can't help but open their mouth and say something about the Lord. My word, isn't God great today? Look at the beautiful day God has given to us. Look at the beautiful sunset. Do you know what? There's someone up there who loves me. Someone who is praying. Someone who's reading the Word of God. You will see fruit in their life if they really love the Lord. On the other hand, there's those who make professions. And we all know that. Who shoot out, just like in a race, they shoot out from the blocks and they're gone. Wow. Look at that person go. We have a son like that. We thought he was going to go all kinds of places. We thought. What did God think? And today he's not living for the Lord. My friends, I'm not telling you something you don't already know. Make sure you examine yourself whether you're of the faith. The faith is the whole truth of the gospel, the Word of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe God? Do you believe His Son? Do you believe that His Son died for you? Do you believe that with all your heart and all your soul? If you do, it will show in your life. It will show in your life. The first, the two ways tells us to examine the cost of our profession. Have we paid a price to profess Christ? Have you paid a price to call yourself a Christian? We think of going with the flow, the broad road. We think of a river or stream going down and you're going with the flow. Do you know what? Even a dead fish can go down river, can't they? But it takes a real live one. One that has energy. One that's striving is to turn around and swim up the current. Swim against the flow. And that's what a Christian is to do in his life. Has it any cost to you to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you get laughed at? Do you get scorned at? Made fun of? But you know something? If you're a real Christian, people will know it. And when they get into problems and troubles, guess who the first one they'll ask to pray? That is what a Christian is. When someone, you don't have to tell them, but they can even see it. Because you are a sermon, you are a message to those people in your community that you are a Christian, you are consistent, you are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7, not one day a week, 24/7, 365 days a year, you're a Christian. Why? Because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You reverence Him, you respect Him, and you love Him for what He has done for you. The two ways tells us to examine the cost of our profession, and we ask the question, have we paid a price to profess Christ? The two trees tells us to investigate whether our lives have really changed. If you call yourself a Christian, has your life really changed? Are there godly fruit in our lives? Can people stand back and say, I know that they're saved. I can see it in their lives. It's not good for us to tell people that they're saved. But it's good to see that they are saved, see the fruit in their lives, and we know that they're saved because of the fruit in their lives. It's consistent. Every year, a tree usually comes out with blooms and then comes out with fruit. Consistently. Some don't every second year, but they're still either an apple tree, orange tree, whatever, they produce those fruit, don't they? The two foundations remind us that true faith in Christ will last. We think of Fenna, we think of John, we think of Josh and other carpenters and John Potter and everybody building the houses. You go to build a house, you don't go build it on a sand, do you? Fenna and the boys, and they put foundations and they dig deep down into the ground to make sure it's on a solid what? Rock. We need our homes. That word house means our lives. Is your life built on a foundation? Because even in this life, like the parable of the seed and the sower, remember the seeds were cast out and some fell on hard ground. Some fell among the thorns and so on. Then there is again a picture of those people who believed for a moment or for a time. And then when hard times came, when difficulties came, when there was trials and testing in their life, they were gone. And again, we know people who have done that. Shot out from the blocks like that. And first thing you know, there was a little bit of trial in their life, and they were gone. Why? Because their house, their lives were not built on the solid foundation, which is Christ. And you know what? To look at those people, one house probably looked the same as the other. Beautiful. Probably brick in the front and dear knows what else. Beautiful, but probably side... Beside each other, they looked the same. But it didn't take long to find out where the foundation was when their floods came, when their trials came, wind came. A physical illustration. The wind and the water and so on came. One house fell, and the other one stood. And that is the same thing with a life that makes profession that you're a Christian. If you're really plugged into the Lord and to His Word, and you're praying, you know that He's your God, you know that Jesus Christ died for you, your life is built on a foundation, a solid rock, something that will not move. And that is the test that God is going to test you on at the end of life. And my friends, to go through a whole life thinking that you were on the narrow road, thinking that you were a good tree, and to find out at the end of your life that your life was built on the sand, wouldn't that be some kind of devastating? Is there false professions? Yes, we think of Judas. Judas, who was with the Lord Jesus Christ for three and a half years. Now you imagine a man being in his presence, the Lord of glory for 3.5 years. He spent every day with them. He even took part in his ministry. The Bible tells us that. He saw the absolute miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Touching the leper, and the leper being clean. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. He saw them at a 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. He saw that. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ walk on water. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ speak to Peter and say, Peter, let your nets down on the right side. And when he did, Peter let down one net, and his net was so full it broke. In an instant, they fished all night and got nothing. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ touch a man's eyes who never even had eyes, and now he could see. And yet that man sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, the same price as a dead slave in the Old Testament in Exodus. And you tell me why. Why? Because he would not acknowledge that he was a sinner and needed a Savior. He would not acknowledge Jesus Christ as a Savior. He kissed the very door into heaven. Because that's what it says in John chapter 10 about the Lord Jesus Christ. He kissed the very door. How close so many people come to getting to heaven but go to hell. And my friend, what the message is this morning, make sure that you are on the narrow road, that you are a good tree, and your life is built upon a rock, a good foundation. Because if it isn't, you're still on the broad road. You are a corrupt tree, and your house is built on nothing but the sand. And the end thereof is a way of death or destruction. You can fool me, and you don't have to please me. You don't have to listen to me, because I am just nothing. All I am is a messenger to bring a message to you this morning. Do you know what everything else is between you and God? Everything between you and the Lord. Not between me and you. between you and the Lord. Because you know what? You're going to answer to Him yourself. And you're going to stand even Christian at the judgment seat of Christ. We need to keep remind us of that. Christian, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Not that we'll ever lose our salvation, because we cannot. That is a place of reward. We can either lose rewards or we can gain them. Like the story told about a man who went to heaven, and he's walking down this hallway and there's a whole bunch of doors, and one door there has got his name on it. And he said, "Oh Lord, can I go in there and see what's in there?" And the Lord says, "Go ahead." He goes in there and he sees on the shelf different things, different blessings that he missed out on because of his life. Those are the rewards. God has a plan. He has a purpose for every individual in this auditorium this morning. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And He wants you to listen and obey. And sometimes we don't listen, we don't obey, we don't do the things He wants us to do, and we miss out on a reward, on a blessing. And those are the things He was talking about. Many things, packages that were never opened, blessings never bestowed because of disobedience, because of quenching the Spirit or not allowing the Spirit to work in our lives, or not doing what God wants us to do, not doing His plan. But then there's the others who are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, or at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 19. And those are people whose mouths will be stopped. Those are people who will understand and know why they're there. But they will never be able to change anything. And like it says at the end of this chapter, and you go to Matthew chapter 25, read about the ten virgins. And I believe the 10 virgins speaks about 10 morally sound people. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them had oil and 5 of them didn't. The 10 of them had lamps, and that would again would speak of a life. That would speak of a profession made. Oh yes, I'm a Christian. But only 5 of them had oil, extra oil with them. That would speak of the Spirit of God, being indwelt by the Spirit of God. That is possession. Are you making a profession this morning? Or are you possession, or have possession of the Holy Spirit? You belong to the Lord. Because in that same chapter it says 5 foolish and 5 wise. And it also says that they went to buy and they came back and knocked on the door and the door was shut. What's the same response again? Depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. I hope and pray there's no one in this room this morning who will ever hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in Thy presence and in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for loving us. We thank Thee for Calvary. We thank Thee for the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ paid a tremendous price. Father, we pray that none of us are still on the broad road this morning. We pray, Father, that none of us can be accounted as a corrupt tree. We pray, Father, that none of us at the end of our life will be those who will stand before God. And Father, our whole lives will be destroyed because they were built on nothing but sand on the earth. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts, saved and unsaved alike, that each one of us would examine our own lives. And Father, we pray that everyone is right with God. Part us with Thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we sing a couple of verses of number 62 and the meeting will be over? Number 62, Just As I Am. That's how I came way back in 1982. Didn't matter how religious I was or what I knew, it didn't matter. The big thing was, I came just as I was and said, "Lord, I am done. I'm just like the prodigal son." When I came to myself, I said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything about it. I need You to save me. Will You save me tonight?" Verse 1 and verse 5 and number 62.
Just as I am without.
verse 5.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt well.